Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday to you. A few minutes past 3 p.m., time for Hancock and Kelly, and no better day to have the guys on. Listened with great interest this morning to your show, and then when you're on with Chris and Amy, so I know a lot of your takes on it, and I shared most of them. I was very emotionally affected by it. I said that it was less like watching a presidential debate and having the guy I'm rooting for tank. It was more like going to visit your father, who you haven't seen in a few months, and he's gone downhill. That's how it felt. I was literally shocked at how bad it was.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's interesting that you likened it to your father, because that was a memory that came back for me. You know, just the way the president's mouth was agape when he walked out, and then he had, you know, just a paleness about him. And we've seen Joe Biden like this in the past. We've never seen him like this in his biggest moment, and I think it will be too big for him to overcome.
I agree. What I want from you guys is, we can do all the, he looked terrible and he sounded terrible and he needs to go and they need to get Gavin Newsom in there or someone else. We don't know how it works. How does it work? What are the chances this really effectuates?
So the rules change from year to year, but they're generally the same. That's what parties negotiate. This is a party function, not a government function. Okay. Even though we all vote and et cetera, it all comes down to the allegation of delegates to go to conventions for both of us. And so the Democrats have a really unique system. You may remember from Hillary, superdelegates, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But there's also, you know, Joe Biden's racking up these delegates. Those folks will go to Chicago. They're pledged to caucus or, be a part of the convention for Joe Biden. They will vote for him and the process. So if it were to happen at the convention, there'd be a potential floor fight. That could be a pre-announced, coronation of who the Democrats are choosing. But there'll be an orchestrated effort where they will then have some type of ceremony where they reallocate those delegates.
If Joe Biden, I loved your analogy today, Johnny, when you talked about if Mr. DeWitt wanted to pitch the last inning of a game, yeah, you're not going to take him out, even though he's getting shelled.
Right.
If Joe Biden does not want to step aside, is there anyone who can make him?
No. Well, maybe persuade him, but he can't be forced. And here's the really unique American thing about presidential nominations. Every state makes their own rules, and it's not the state legislature. It's the state, in this case, Democratic Party Committee. So it's the grassroots people that make up the state committee, and every 4 years they draft a resolution about the convention, and it spells out how the delegates get allocated. Does the winner take all if the primary happens? Does whoever wins get all the delegates? Some states say yes. Is it proportional? Some states say yes, but there's a threshold of 15% or whatever. They can make any rules they want. Hmm. Are the delegates bound at the convention?
Mm-hmm.
That's all spelled out in those state party mm-hmm. rules that they pass. And in most cases, the delegates are bound for the first ballot, which means they can go out and try and vote for somebody else, but they're bound. And so their vote's going to count for Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
All of that means that if Joe Biden insists on following through, he's going to be the nominee at the convention.
Because it'll happen on the first ballot.
It happens on the first ballot, and most of the delegates are bound. Now, they do have these 500 and some superdelegates, but that's not enough mm-hmm. to sway things. So the only way you can make a change, I think, and I've not studied
You could
the,
step down.
Yes, that's the only way you can make a change.
Step down as a candidate, not a step down as the president.
Right, and he could say, I'm no longer a candidate for president, and I free my delegates.
Do you guys have any doubt that if the election were 2 years from now, that the Republicans would be looking at the 25th Amendment?
Well,
they want him. They want to run against him now.
Yeah.
But if they didn't, if they just wanted him gone.
I think the 25th. So there's two sections to the 25th Amendment. You've got the one where the president's having a colonoscopy.
Right.
And he designates the vice president to be in charge for those 2 hours. So, and that's happened a bunch.
Yeah.
The second component of the 25th Amendment is that a majority of the cabinet, and I don't know, it's a supermajority. I don't know if it's 2/3 or 3/4, but it's a supermajority. They have got to agree and sign a document that the president is no longer fit to serve in office. That's never going to happen.
Really?
No. I mean,
well, it's his own appointees.
Right. And if he doesn't like what they're doing, he just appoints somebody else because they serve at the... And so the people, you know, back on January 7th, there was all this talk about the 25th Amendment and the cabinet. And there were some cabinet members that thought Trump was nuts. But to get that supermajority of the cabinet to sign a document and the vice president, the circumstances that would have to be present for that to happen are unimaginable to me. So I don't think the 25th Amendment is really in play here.
How did it hit you guys last night?
Well, John and I were together. We were working on Channel 2 on Fox 2 in St. Louis. And so we had gotten there. We'd sat down right before the debate. We avoided all the, you know, talking heads prior to it. And when the president walked out, I took a look at John because the president walked out before President Trump. And I looked at John like, boy, he doesn't look good.
No, he looked like me after a stress test at the cardiologist's office.
Yeah. And then when Donald Trump came out, and then after the first question, I looked at him and I said, I'm going to get sick. And, it, you know, I even repositioned myself in the room because it became painful to watch. And then you really are just watching a meltdown. And, you know, I got to go on and say something about it afterwards. And I'm a party fan, but... It quickly became evident that this may be unfixable.
I was surprised and impressed and heartened a bit that on CNN and MSNBC they were being so honest.
Yeah, I mean it was you saw it with your own two eyes. You know, I mean you can't. I mean, well, Trump sometimes will deny what everybody sees with their own two eyes, but it's not, you know, it's not effective.
Which is part of the problem that the Biden campaign has. Since the day he announced he was going to run for re-election, he's made this about Donald Trump is a threat for democracy. He's not all there. This guy's not making rational decisions. And their allegations was, oh, you're not cognitive. You're not there. Like it, love it, hate it. Most people in America probably tuned into that debate for 15, 20 minutes. Yep. Most likely the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That pie is baked. How can you make the argument that, listen, this guy's a threat to democracy and I'm the only one who can fix it, and you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it undermines your own argument as to why you are the better candidate.
Agreed.
I mean, if you're going in for a medical procedure... And the doctor comes shuffling in, and his mouth is open, and he can't breathe through his nose, and you can't understand what he's saying. He's not making any sense. You're probably not going to get that procedure.
Yeah.
And I think the people that tuned into that debate last night, you know, and Trump, and I'm no fan of Donald Trump, but he won the debate. Now, he lied for, you know, an hour and a half. I mean, it was a blizzard. But... You know, I don't think that really matters for people that tuned in and saw that. So that's why I say this was for the Democrats last night. This is the fire alarm going off. And you got to choose. Are you going to run out of the House or are you going to stick around and think, yeah, maybe this is not so bad and burn to death?
But
because that's where we are.
I agree. But there's this belief that there is this invisible machine that's running this. This is Joe Biden. He's the president of the United States. He's the most powerful human being on the planet. I mean, he has to come to this. Now, I guess Barack Obama and others could go talk to him. But look, we had these conversations 2 years ago. This was obvious that this would happen eventually, you know, that we would have these issues. I don't know how you get a president to quit.
Yeah.
If he goes ahead with it,
yep.
Chances he wins?
No. I mean, I really can't see it. I mean, Trump might be in prison. Yeah, you know, he's going to be sentenced on July 11th. I don't think they'll put him in jail, but, I mean, they might. These other cases look like they're all going to be stagnant or, you know, in hold mode. But, yeah, looking at this thing, the base, there is nobody that likes Donald Trump that saw that debate last night and doesn't think, yeah, let's go. We got this. Let's go, you know. And there's nobody that was on the fence that looked at that and said, oh, you know, this Biden guy's pretty good. I mean, those people don't exist. So, you know, I mean, things can change. There's still however many days before the election. But, you know, from my 100 years of experience, Donald Trump's going to win this election.
I don't think a good rally today or showing up and skipping in a parade tomorrow fixes this.
Agreed. My worry is that he's too far gone to know how far gone he is. That's my real worry.
Could be. And it's clear to me also that Jill Biden, this is a big deal for her, him to be the
nominee. For whatever reason.
And so, you know, there's no... It's almost like the decision that families have to make when it's time to put mom in the home, you know, and the other spouse says, no, you know, we can do it. Although in this case, there's a lot on the line. There's a lot of good stuff that could happen if he just holds on. But it's I can't imagine putting my spouse through this.
No.
On a national, world, global stage. But here we are.
Well, both presidential candidates are putting their spouses through something, aren't they?
Well, Melania is doing fine. I mean, you know, she's living her life and doing whatever she's doing.
We took phone calls earlier, and it was pretty good. Let's do it again with Hancock and Kelly here. Give me a phone call. You want to talk about what happened last night in the debate or what the future holds. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Quick break, right back, DGS and KMOX. 23 DGS here with Hancock and Kelly. Going to take some of your phone calls now. We'll start with Christy on line one. Christy, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, I did watch the debate last night, and I got to say, I think Trump missed a valuable moment when he was asked, well, you're aging as well. You're aging. They didn't say he's aging. They said, well, you're not far behind in your age number. And he went off. He did say he did take a cognitive test, but he just touched on that. And then he went off on that horrid tangent about his golf. Who plays better golf?
Right.
And that was embarrassing. But he missed the opportunity to say, Mr. President Biden, we all age differently. Unfortunately, you're aging at age 83 cognitively. I might age at 83, but I'm not there yet, and I'm cognitively much better than you are. You know, he's probably in a stage 4 dementia. He's somewhere between 3 and 4. He's not going to go back to 1. He's only going to get worse. And I think all of those symptoms that he showed last night, the mumbling, the inability to catch his thoughts and speak the language, and losing his place, those are all dementia stage 4, stage 3. And I've taken a lot, as a nurse, 45 years, I've taken care of a lot of dementia patients. There's nothing unusual about what he looked like at 83. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for President Biden that the Democratic Party and his family has allowed him to age in such a public manner, be at home in peace and quiet, taking his naps.
Yeah, we had said, guys, that if Donald Trump wanted to, and had he thought of it, I think he was too busy slinging BS because he realized, oh, I don't have an opponent here tonight. I can literally do or say anything I want. And Jake Tapper's not going to fact check me either. Yeah. So he went kind of crazy. But he could have, on several occasions when Joe Biden really went bad and fumbled into something incomprehensible, he could have said, I'm sorry, should we recess? Should we come back on another? I mean, he could have done that. He could have said, like, I'm really uncomfortable with this. I don't think my opponent is up to this. And if we need to come back in another day, that would have ended the whole thing.
So I was on with you guys yesterday and we're talking about the debate, and I was wrong about something. I said that this format, the way it was with no audience, with the mute button, that this was ideal for Joe Biden. And it could have been, but it wasn't. But it turned out to be ideal for Donald Trump because he was limited to 1 to 2 minute blips. If you watch, and I don't know if many of our listeners have watched an entire Trump rally, and he's had, you know, several every month for the last several months, you know, he's prone to drifting into some complete nonsense as
Sharks.
Well. As he gets in, just on a free flow, mm-hmm. no teleprompter. Mm-hmm. But the 2 minute constriction, I think, helped him greatly last night. Yeah. And he did not look cognitively challenged the way Joe Biden did.
If Joe does decide to step down, is there time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not just time to switch, but time to win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still think my vote didn't change last night. I mean, there's no way in heck that I can witness what I witnessed last night and think that Donald Trump is the answer to that. It just doesn't exist. I mean, this is a felon. This is a guy who tried to overthrow our government. And when you look at most of the polling, not many minds were changed. That shows you how divided this country is. I'm hopeful that we do fix it, because I think almost anybody else on the Democratic side, outside of potentially the vice president and maybe the former secretary of could win. I think almost any Democrat.
I don't know that the polls are going to change dramatically, but I do think Joe Biden's job approval is going to take a real hit here. And that's a predicate for disaster. So he's already in the mid to high 30s. And his job approval is going to take a real hit, I think, as a result of this. And, that doesn't bode well.
All right, fellas, have a great weekend.
You guys too.
Top of the hour, we have attorney Brad Young's going to walk us through everything Supreme Court, what we know now and what we think is going to happen in the next few days. They should be wrapping things up by the middle of next week. A lot of important decisions to come out. A lot of important decisions already have come out. Dave Murray joins us now. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is 4th of July is in the middle of next week.
Yeah.
For the most part. Is next week everybody off? I mean, does the nation basically say, hey, you know what? Let's just take the whole week off.
I feel like it's the opposite. And maybe it's maybe it's just because of our little world. We don't get the day off. And if it were like a Monday or a Friday, I would take it off. But given that it's the middle of the week and there's a baseball game, I'm probably just going to work and do a 1 hour show.
Roll the dice, right?
Yeah. So in my vision, like, no one gets it off.
We're all working that day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. I'm talking about the whole week, though. Do you think, as far as like America is concerned, obviously retail stays busy and all that, but people who work in offices, are they saying, yeah, let's just phone this baby in?
I'm with Dave Murray on this one, just based on the building we work in. I mean, it's summer.
Yeah.
It's a Friday. There is nobody here. And it's like, I can't believe you're all taking vacation or, some people are working from home, whatever. But people are just gone all the time. So whenever you have a holiday in the middle of the week, it does feel like.
I mean, we're in radio, which is a weird business. So it's not like other businesses. But I feel like overall it holds true. There's never been a better time if you don't like to work. If you don't like to work, you can work from home, you can fake it, you can get away with a lot of stuff, you can quit your job and go get another one. Am I wrong? Am I just being an old man? But it just seems like it's a great time if you don't like to work.
I don't know.
No idea.
I do know that the balances are shifting when it comes to employment. It's kind of the power's going back to the employers. I just read a Business Insider article on that the other day that, it isn't how it was 2 years ago whenever it just seemed like you could, the great resignation when everybody was doing it.
Never understood that.
Well, it only lasts so long. Is you got to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, Dave, what are we looking at for the weekend?
It's warm and humid for evening plants. It's kind of sticky outside. There is a batch of thunderstorms up to our north, basically Springfield, Illinois, and north. So I think the evening is okay. It's just warm and humid. But scattered showers and thunderstorms move in late tonight. Some could be on the strong side. Let's say after midnight for the most part. Only 78 for the overnight low. Saturday, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some will be strong, but it's not an all-day rain. I think the focus is going to be early to mid-morning, and then a break, and then another batch moving in probably after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 94, really high humidity throughout the day on Saturday. So it's not raining all the time. It's a thunderstorm pattern. Just keep an eye on the sky. Be ready to get inside. This is a cool front coming in. It's a little stronger cool front than the last one. So any thunderstorms out of the picture really early in the evening on Saturday. Clear skies take over. Dropping humidity, 68. Sunday continues to look like a wonderful day. Lots of sunshine, low humidity, great temperatures, 83 for the high on Sunday. Sunday night, temperatures in the 70s for evening plans, 59 for the overnight low. Monday, gorgeous again, low humidity, sunshine, 84. But it's back, heat and humidity Tuesday and Wednesday. Certainly easily hit the mid-90s on Tuesday and again on Wednesday, maybe pushing 100 degrees. There are kind of two options on the table for 4th of July, and they're very different. One is that, as we mentioned yesterday, it could be a real beast of 100 degrees, but there's also some early indications that another cool front could be moving in. If it does get down here, then that means showers and thunderstorms around on 4th of July, so it's kind of a two-edged sword. Also, the tropics are kicking up what we call the long-track storms that come off Africa. And there should be a second named storm of the season, probably by the end of the weekend, if not tomorrow. And that is a growing concern, though. It's a long way off for the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So since everyone is talking about golf today, I thought this would be a great story. A golfer sinks back-to-back aces at the U.S. Senior Open.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, his name is Frank Bentzel, and he pulled off a once-in-a-lifetime feat.
From Jupiter, Florida.
The 56-year-old sank back-to-back holes in one at the Newport Country Club. He aced the 184-yard fourth hole and the 203-yard fifth hole, both of which are par three.
And think about this. He's plus six for the day.
Ugh.
Think about that. Just for golfers out there, think about that. Two
holes. So he's four under on those two, but,
but
wow,
six over for the day.
Yikes.
That's pretty rough.
It's like me playing.
Yeah.
Is that the Newport Country Club in Rhode Island? Is that where they're playing?
Dave, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't have it here in the story. Sorry.
That's okay.
Washington is leaning into quote-unquote green tourism, meaning cannabis tourism. The first licensed recreational marijuana retail outlets are opening July 1st in Washington State, and they're preparing to welcome consumers. They will be giving tours that include visits of production facilities and medical dispensaries. They'll even have a cannabis offering a marijuana-friendly tour of Seattle.
I hate puns more than I like pot.
That is Newport Country Club in Rhode Island.
All right, very cool.
Yeah.
So Washington is just getting that?
Yes.
Huh, that's surprising.
And it starts on Monday. All right, we've got some local news here. A Missouri woman is facing charges for allegedly trying to poison her husband. Anyone see this story?
Nope.
Michelle Peters is accused of putting Roundup in her husband's Mountain Dew drink multiple times in May and June. Apparently, her husband noticed that his drink didn't taste like it usually did and ended up checking the cameras in his garage. Mm. The victim allegedly saw his wife take the soda and a bottle of insecticide into the house. Court records indicate that Peters thought her husband didn't appreciate the birthday party she threw for him, which reportedly led to the poisoning.
She sounds nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why people think they can get away with stuff. Maybe people do get away with stuff all the time, and I just don't.
We just don't know about it. Yeah. Well, I guess if they got away with it, we wouldn't know.
Exactly.
Well, especially, don't you know that your husband has cameras in the garage, and you're like, let me get out the Roundup, let me get out the Mountain Dew, and go inside and come back with it? Like, you're going to get caught. What's wrong with you?
But she might have thought, you know what? Yeah, we have cameras in the garage. He never looks at those.
Probably.
He never looks at those cameras.
But it's like, what, is your husband just going to die and everyone's going to go, oh, that was weird, and not investigate
autopsies.
It at all?
Yeah.
Shove him down the stairs.
Jeez.
He slipped.
Go hiking. Oops.
All right. It's the most expensive piece of Harry Potter paraphernalia. The illustration for the cover of the first Harry Potter book sold for $1.9 million at auction. The illustration for Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone shows Harry waiting for his train to take him to Hogwarts. The piece was done by Thomas Taylor, who was only 23 years old when he completed the work in 2 days.
Hmm.
Kind of cool. A woman was arrested for calling 911 to avoid meeting up with a man she'd met on a dating app. So they were talking on Snapchat and decided to meet up. And I guess when he arrived, she thought, I don't want to do this anymore, and called 911 and made up a story about how he was her boyfriend and he's punching her and kicking her and she's pregnant.
Why wouldn't she just leave?
It's a great question, Wheels. I don't know. I think there
might
be...
That's a future poisoner.
Yeah, no doubt. What the hell?
Got a theme going here.
But yeah, she's been arrested. You can't just call 911 and make up lies. You do get in trouble for that. All right, moving on. There's a blue-collar boom. Trade schools are seeing surging enrollment, according to the Pew Research Center. 40% of U.S. adults surveyed say a four-year college degree is not important in order to get a well-paying job in today's economy. And local technical and trade schools say the increase in enrollment they've seen in recent years backs that up.
Huh. Phoebe is home now from KU, and she's loving it. So I think I'm going to end up paying for KU, even if she doesn't end up doing anything. But she was talking about trade schools and friends of hers who were doing it. She's like, maybe I just want to be a welder. I'm like, yes, you do. Yes. Yes, honey, you do. Let's make that happen right now. Let's go buy your equipment.
Wasn't there a long time? Wasn't there a shortage?
Oh, there still is.
Oh, there's still. Well, then great.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Walgreens is closing a significant number of stores. They say they're at a point where the current pharmacy model is not sustainable.
Hmm. There's a real reshuffling. Don't you feel like just in general in business?
Yeah.
Like some businesses that were killing it now are not, and businesses that you don't even know are businesses are now killing it. It feels like a real reshuffling of just the economy.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that there's, you know, if you can get something mailed to your house, don't most people take that option rather than stopping by
store? What's going to finally take down Amazon? A bigger, better Amazon? Or is that even possible?
I don't know. Yeah, it seems like they're pretty good at staying ahead of everyone
else. Yeah, now they got the pharmacies and the whole bit.
It doesn't get any easier than that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my final story here, probably no one's excited about this but me, but I thought it was kind of cool. Jennifer Lawrence is going to star in a Real Housewives-inspired murder mystery for Apple Original Films and A24. I never know if it's A24 or A24.
I think it's A24.
So it's going to be Real Housewives-themed. It's currently in development, so no word on the final plot or when it might shoot, but I think that sounds kind of cool.
I wasn't excited until you said A24. I like pretty much everything they do.
Because it's like, I like Real Housewives. I like Jennifer Lawrence. I really like A24. That's going to be quite an interest. I mean, I'm just interested to see what they do with it. I think that'll be pretty cool.
Have a great weekend, Dave.
You too.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we have attorney Brad Young going to talk to us about the Supreme Court. So, Kev, the Cardinals had a night last night like Biden.
Woo! It was, Miles kind of had a... his game, his performance last night, a little bit like the first half hour, although it was all bad for Joe last night. But Miles just couldn't miss bats, man. I mean, he got hammered early, hammered often, was giving up, a lot of, it was only one home run, but a lot of hard hit balls. I mean, I'm looking at, was it 3, 4, 5, 6 doubles, a triple, and a home run? Like, that's a lot of damage in a short amount of time.
Did the coach take criticism for not pulling him earlier?
No, because by the time it escalated to the point where you were going to pull him, you're already in a bad spot. So why sacrifice your bullpen for the next 3 days because this day is getting away from you? I think that you had to try to push it a little bit, and they did end up using 3 relievers, and one of them, Ryan Fernandez, is about the only one that you'll be worried about in the next coming days, but he's pretty good at bouncing back.
The whole bullpen thing, am I just paying so much attention to it because I'm engaged now? Is it always perennially a big issue?
Managing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a danger for every team, especially now with starters going less and less or covering less and less innings, right? They're going shallower and shallower. So they're more 5 and dive, 6 and out type things. So, the concern about wearing out your best relievers, the guys you want in there in close games. So if it's a 1 or 2 run game either direction or you have a lead, you don't want the guys you can't rely on. You want the most reliable guys. Well, because the Cardinals are playing nothing but close games, how many blowouts have we other than last night? You don't get many blowout wins or losses. Every game's close. You got to be careful of not running Helsley and Romero and Kittredge into the ground. And now Fernandez is kind of in that group. And Libertor was getting into that group, but I don't know. Maybe now he's more of a guy they're going to think about starting on a more regular basis because of what he did last time out. But either way, you have to be careful because if you burn those guys out, now you're losing close games, right? Now you're getting to those games where you have a 1-run lead and it gets blown because your best guys aren't there anymore.
Anything that lines up in our favor or the opposite with the Reds?
Well, just in general, like for the rest of the series, you should have some more pitching matchups that are better for you. Like, Frankie Montas going today for the Reds. It's Palante, which is...
You never know.
No, you never know. They did call up Gordon Graceffo from AAA.
Tell me about this kid.
So he's a guy that was not a huge prospect. And then two seasons ago, not last year, but 2022, had a big breakout. Like, he gained a bunch of velocity, came into spring training throwing harder than he had before, and had a great year. And then last year had some minor injury problems and just was uneven and wasn't very good, but he's corrected some of that this year. He's being called up, I don't know for how long, but I think essentially to help as a reliever. Like, he's coming in, he'll probably back up Pallante. So if Pallante has a rough day today, I'm sure you'll see Graceffo come in and eat up some innings. He's an interesting guy. I mean, he can get the ball up into the upper 90s at times, but as a starter, he pitches more in the 94-ish range. He's a hard guy to get a gauge on, because if you'd asked a year ago, he was a guy on the rise. He was a guy that people were starting to buzz about. And then last year kind of threw a lot of cold water on that. So
who's the other guy? Oxen something?
Which one? Kloppenstein?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He got thrown into the fire in his major league debut. Eighth inning of a close game, and he did a great job. He's been pitching really well at Memphis, too, but I think he was just off turn. You know, so if they needed him to pitch, I think he had recently pitched down there, so it wasn't his turn, but Graceffo's going to get his look. The next 2 days, you've got Saturday you've got the chance, Sonny Gray against a young lefty, but then Hunter Green, the 100-mile-an-hour guy, is pitching for the Reds on Sunday, so probably want to win tonight.